This very same watch that I'm wearing now, I remember when I got to Psalms 9, I believe it was, Psalm 16, verse 9. I remember looking at my watch, and it was 11:50. Well, in my internal clock, I was sitting here thinking to myself, it's got to be later than 11:50. But you know, when I looked at my watch, I didn't look to see if that second hand was moving. Well, guess what? That second hand was not moving. And this is the truth. I'm not telling a story here in this pulpit tonight. So I internally thought that it should have been later than 11:50. And actually, it probably was 12 o'clock when I looked at my watch and saw that it was 11:50. So if I did keep you over a little bit this morning, I apologize. But, you know, I can honestly say that there are services where the Spirit is felt more than others, and you making a test of that, I don't know. But there was a sweet spirit in here this morning. And I'll be honest with you, when I was with Brother William and Miss Louise before I came in, my heart was hurting for her. But when I came in here and we began to sing and we prayed, you know, it was just a burden that was lifted. And it was just, to me, it was just a feeling of a sweet, sweet spirit in here this morning. And I hope that you felt that. And I hope that you feel that sweet spirit more so than not. But, you know, I don't like to run on a time schedule. Of course, I know that if you start talking or rambling more than 20 minutes at a time, you begin to lose the congregation. They begin to focus on other things. And unfortunately, you know, we are set on that 12 o'clock time to get out. But I just hope that you bear with me if I do go over 12 sometimes. It's not intentional. I'm not trying to keep you from being the first in line at Cromer's. Of course, I give Preacher Kelvin Henson a fit at Flint Ridge. You know, he's going strong at 12:30 and 12:45. So I don't know how he does that. But matter of fact, when I was leaving from my house to go to my mom and daddy's to eat lunch at 12:50, I saw several of his members coming and turning left into Cromer. So I'm thinking, you know, they had just recently got out of church themselves. But what a blessing it is to be here with you all tonight. And as we study some more in Daniel, and I am aware of the weather situation, and I want you all to be safe. But I figure us being here at the church, we're in a safe place, the safest place there really can be. But I really don't want you traveling if the heavier rains are beginning to come this way. So what I want to do tonight is briefly review what we discussed in chapter 1 last week, and then I'm going to close up with chapter 1. And since we won't be in the book of Daniel next Sunday night due to the fifth Sunday, we'll be able to pick back up and start from chapter 2 on February the 5th. Now, before I go any further with that, y'all are not a church that likes to call off church because of the Super Bowl, are you? I hope not. Because if you are, I really will upset some people. Because I'm going to tell you now, when I was a little kid, I'm going to watch that Super Bowl. But, you know, as I got older, I understood the importance of church, obviously. And that Super Bowl will still be there when we get home. But I was definitely hoping that we will be here on that February the 5th. And so we'll pick back up with Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 on February the 5th. So a brief review from last week, we learned and studied that Daniel and his friends were forced to assimilate, to take up the values and beliefs of the Babylonians and their total way of life. Now, we know there were certain areas that Daniel did adhere to this, but he did not let it infiltrate his beliefs. He did not let it affect who he was in God. And his friends were the same way. And then on top of that, we also know that Daniel and his friends were given the Babylonian names. We know their names were changed. They, of course, kept their Hebrew name. But when they were called or when they were referenced once held in captivity, they were no longer called by their Hebrew name. They were called by their given Babylonian name. But through it all, as we discussed, and as you all know, that Daniel and his friends continued to remain faithful to God. And they continued to trust God because they knew that God would continue to provide. And that's really what it's all about. That is what Christianity is really all about, is the fact that you have to just accept it. We walk by faith and we do not walk by sight. You just have to accept and know to survive as a Christian, you've got to just simply place your trust in Christ. And that's it. Nothing else. There's no in between. Trust God. Trust and know that He will provide for you. That was what Miss Louise said to me this afternoon. She looked at me as they were cleaning off her brow, and she looked at me and smiled, and she said, God is still going to protect me. And it's the truth. Whether you are in the ER, whether you are sitting in this pew right now, whether you're hurting deeply, God is in control, and He will take care of you. God was in control of Daniel's life, and we know that as Daniel continued to prove his faithfulness, God was capable of doing more with Daniel and his life. And if you remember last week, I made the comment that Daniel had to make a great decision. He had to decide whether or not he was going to defile himself, defile his beliefs. And we know that he chose not to do so. So that was the great decision that he made. It was a great decision that affected his very own life, not just temporarily, but it could have meant a difference between life or death in itself, and not just for him, but for his friends as well. And then after Daniel realized that great decision needed to be made, or that he had to make that great decision, he then had to have a resolution for this great decision. Now we know that this is Daniel speaking and Daniel making the request, but we have to realize that God is the one who put these thoughts into Daniel's mind. And if you want to go back briefly and look at Daniel 1:8, I will just read that one verse for right now. It says, but Daniel, he proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So this is when he made that bold claim. This is when he really put forth into action that true decision that needed to be made. And so when he made the decision, though, he had to go ahead and have a backup plan ready. Because when he made that decision, he couldn't stand there and stammer over his words and not have a resolution to give to this eunuch. He had to be able to give him a definitive answer or an affirmative answer as to why he needed to make this great decision. So Daniel chose not to defile himself or his beliefs. And once the resolution was given, then it was the request. The request was very important. And Daniel knew once again that this request would jeopardize or could jeopardize his life. But if you remember, we read last week that God had allowed Daniel to have found favor in the eyes of the chief eunuch. And so as we think about the Lord using Daniel, he also used this eunuch. And we can see through the Old Testament and the New Testament how God used evil people to get his work accomplished. You know, I think of 9/11. And I know every one of you can recall that entire day of where you were when you first heard and how you were as you were home watching and looking on to the calamity that was upon our earth, upon our land. God used that to bring us together because there were people all around the United States and all around the world that began to pray. And unfortunately, it took a terrible event to do that, but it did bring America to their knees for a short duration. And so now, you know, I often wonder, you know, what's it going to take to get us back on our knees once again? Is it going to take another type of attack like we suffered in 2001? What's it going to take? But God can use evil people for his good. And so here God was using this chief eunuch who was over these captives. But God used him in a mighty way and used him and softened up his heart. So when Daniel made this request, even though he knew that he was also putting his own life on the line, he still did it for Daniel because God allowed it to take place. Which now takes us to Daniel 1, verse 12. Daniel 1, verse 12. Through 15, it says, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat, pulse being vegetables to eat, and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Now, this is important to know. Of course, God's hand was upon these gentlemen. They could have just drank water for those 10 days, or they could have fasted for 10 days, and they would have still looked healthier. They would have still been keen. They would have still had more knowledge and discernment. But God wanted them to eat this rationed food, these vegetables, and drink this water, and abstain from the king's food for a very important reason, to prove that you don't have to sit at the king's table to be able to serve God. And of course, we know that the ones that sat at the king's table and enjoyed the king's food, they could have cared less about the God that Daniel had submitted to. They didn't care one way or the other. They had already forgotten about their Hebrew upbringing. They didn't want to have anything else to do with their Hebrew upbringing. The results, as we have read in these verses, prove to be a great demonstration of God's ability to provide. And how important it is that when we look at Daniel's life and we see how he willingly really gave up riches untold, earthly riches untold, versus being at the king's table. Because couldn't you imagine, though, how you would feel, even though you know you were taken captive and you'd already come to grasp and realize that your life as a Hebrew was over and that you were no longer going to have the opportunity to be in your homeland again, so you should probably try to make the best of it. So he could have elbowed up at the king's table and could have been treated as royals, the finest, but yet they sat off to the side and ate food that went with their beliefs and not with man's beliefs. They had greater improvement and greater intelligence, and they had a greater influence. And how important is it to know the great influence that Daniel had on the kings that he served? And if Daniel would not have been faithful, the influence would have not been there. And as I mentioned last Sunday, we probably would not be reading about the book of Daniel, because Daniel would not have completed the things that the Father asked him to do. So this led Daniel and his friends to being promoted and preserved. Matter of fact, there was one Hebrew, his name was Malik, who scoffed at Daniel and his friends as he saw them trying their best to continue to serve God, this God that they were taught of in their Hebrew culture. He laughed at them and made fun of them, and said, "You go ahead and carry on with that silly God. If he was really the God that he said he was, then why did he let us be taken captive? Why did we have to journey 700 miles to be held against our will? You can have your God," is what Malik told Daniel. But Daniel pressed on. He continued on. Daniel started off by making a great decision, then proposing a resolution. Then thirdly, he made the request. But here's the most important part. This is something that applies to you and me today, is that we may make a great decision. You may make that great decision to follow Jesus. You may make that great decision by allowing him to come live within your heart. And then you begin to propose a resolution of things that you know you can do better to serve God. And then you may make the request to God of, "God, what else can I do for you? What else can I do to prove my love for you?" But here's the fourth part. It's so important. A great demonstration is what Daniel had to do next. And that's what it's all about for you and for me, is we have to have a great demonstration. We have to be able to demonstrate that Christ now resides within our lives, that Christ has made a difference in our lives. And that's important, to demonstrate Christ's love in all that you do. And this ultimately led to Daniel's great devotion to God. And when you can devote your time and your talents to God, he can use you in a mighty and powerful way. And that's all it takes, is to be devoted. We want to spend time in God's Word. We want to take time to read daily devotions. When you read those daily devotions, allow those daily devotions to dictate your day. Allow the verses that you read from day in and day out, allow it to be an influence on your life. And And I'm sure that you all can attest to when reading devotions how it seems it was just so fitting for whatever you are going through currently in life. And you have to realize, especially our daily bread, I don't know about the others, but I know that our daily bread are typically written 2 and 3 years out. So the year 2020 devotions have already been written and are ready for publish. So you can tell me that that's a coincidence that, oh, that problem that you were facing just happened to be that particular devotion on that day? It's not a coincidence. God knows. And you know, we think about things of that nature. Does God really care about those things? Of course he does. Would God already know the problems that you're going to face in 2020? Would he already allow a specific devotion to be written so it'll apply to you on that given day? But you won't know if you don't pick it up. And if you don't devote your time to God. God is always manipulating and moving parts. And if you allow him to use you as he used Daniel, he will continue to piece your puzzles of the life that you live together. Because right now as we live, we're still living in scattered pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. That puzzle has not been completed yet. But when that final piece is placed on that board, it'll tell where you will spend eternity. It'll tell what kind of reward you will receive in heaven if you have been a faithful servant of the Lord. Looking at verses 19, 20, and 21, our last three verses of chapter 1 reads, "And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus." Could you imagine what that felt like? You know, for me, if that was me that made that journey, I couldn't help, I would think, to stand with my chest puffed out, thinking, oh, I did it. I've arrived. But not Daniel, not his friends. They remained humble. They remained faithful to God, and they remained willing to serve because they knew that God had a greater purpose in their life than just being servants of this Babylonian king. Matter of fact, we know and we'll continue to study on through Daniel. Daniel remained faithful until God called him home. In all the different types of battles that he faced, all the different turmoil that he faced, he never wavered in his faith. Do you think he may have second-guessed God? I'm sure he did. I'm sure he asked, God, is this really what you want me to do? Or God, is there not a better way? Matter of fact, we can look at the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he ask? He asked, God, if it be your will to do what? To take this cup from me. So it's okay if we do second guess God sometimes and ask him, is this really the best thing that we need to do in our lives? But rest assured in knowing that if you place your heart and soul in the Master's hand, then you're making the best decision that you ever can make, no matter how horrible life may treat you. And I really can't imagine a much more terrible life than what Daniel had to live. To be ripped from his home, a place of comfort, a place where he loved. To see his parents, his family, his friends brutally murdered. But yet he never questioned God and said, why? Why are you doing this to me, God? Why did you let me live, God, and you didn't spare my family? He continued to prove the importance of trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we study this very first chapter of Daniel, we really can't help but see the relevance to our own society in which we live today, the collapsing cultures, this world of chaos, these egotistical rulers. The egotistical rulers are abound. And there are many other threats that are driving us into the future. This is the same situation that Daniel faced, and he realized that he was going to have to do what was needed for God's plan to be fulfilled. And so God gave Daniel a long ministry because God knew he would remain faithful. I think that's important too, because I imagine that there's things in your life where God has called you to do something. And God knows whether or not you're going to answer the call, of course. But maybe you started doing it, but as time passed, you begin to dwindle away from that calling. But not Daniel. Daniel continued on. He pressed on, and God knew that he would remain faithful. And if you want to have the faith that Daniel had, then all you have to do is pray for God to give me that type of faith that I know that if I truly step out off this ledge of life, that God, you will not let me fall. And if we do that, God can use us. And the main goal and the main priority is to always allow God to use you so that all of the glory and all of the praise goes directly back to Him. So I say this to you tonight, whether you're a child, whether you're a teenager, or an adult, your legacy can influence the world until Christ returns, and your legacy is important. What you leave behind for your children is important. Because when you begin to pass the Bible on to your children, and then they pass it on to their children, we're continuing to spread the love of God. We're continuing to teach what it means to trust and to be faithful to the great I Am. We must remember that it takes conviction. And that's important too, because sometimes you feel that when you have become a Christian and you feel this, though you have been more devoted to Christ's work, that you may not often feel convictions, but those convictions should never cease. You should always have convictions within your heart of what is truly right and wrong in the sight of God. But just as Daniel made up his mind that he was going to remain faithful to God no matter the cost, we too must do the same. No matter the cost. If you're willing to submit to God, you've got to commit to God. And no matter what may happen, no matter what you face, and as I say, we're very blessed to live where we live, where we can worship as we please. And we don't truly have to face any type of terrible persecutions. There may be an occasional moment where we're ridiculed, but not really are we often persecuted face to face. Now, we see some of our evangelical Christians who are persecuted more so because they're more in the limelight than what we are here in the town of Kershaw. But if that ever comes into the town of Kershaw and we're ever faced with those type of adversities, you pray for God to give you a boldness to stand up for what you know is right. And if it costs you your life, it will give you your soul in heaven. And that's important to know. That's important to keep in the back of your mind, really at the forefront of your mind, in everything that you do. Even though you may think you're in exile, your heart is still under the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't dilute your influence by compromising with today's society. And I think that, too, is something that's very important. If there ever becomes a moment here while I'm at Sand Hill leading you all as a congregation, and you feel as if I begin to stray away from God's Word, I want you to let me know. Unfortunately, we see that in all of our, not all, but we see that in many churches now, whether they're denominations, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, whatever the denomination may be. They want to dilute God's Word. They want to contort God's Word to fit their lifestyle. And we can't do that. We should not live a diluted life. Our life should be pure, consecrated for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remain steadfast, remain unmovable for the sake of the cross. And then another thing that it takes to live a life for God is conviction. This is what Daniel had. He was convicted by God to not stray away. But the second thing that Daniel focused on was having the right companions. As this morning I mentioned, being able to recognize those saints, those noble men and women of God, and when we need that assistance, that we go to these noble men and women of God, these saints of the Lord Jesus Christ who know what it's like to follow in the footsteps of the Lord. So make sure you choose the right companions to be associated with. And I wish when I was in high school that I would have made better decisions with the companions that I chose to be around. I may not always went and did the things that they did, but I never stood up and did or stood up for the things that I knew which were right. I wouldn't want to go back to high school, but if that opportunity presented itself, boy, would I tell you right now that I would do things so much differently. Make sure you pick the right companions. And then I mentioned that as a high school standpoint, but even as we grow older, even as the adults that are here tonight, sometimes we still can make the wrong decisions. We may make the wrong decisions as we are in high school and college years, and we still keep those same companions because we never realize that we need to put ourselves with people who think the way we think, believe and act the way that we are to act. We all need friends we can pray with. And Daniel, he had three great friends that he could pray with. He had three great friends that he knew he could call upon at any time. And he'd say, pray with me, brother. And I hope that you have people in your life that you know you can call on no matter what time of day or night it is. No matter if you have to give them this specific burden or not, the unspoken, know that you have people in your corner that'll drop to their knees and they will pray for God's will to be done in your life. Surround yourself with godly people just as Daniel did. God has friends in mind for you. That's something else that's important. We ask God to bless us and to be with us, but we also should ask God to make sure he directs us in the path in which we should go when we're trying to seek out those friends. And that's something that we were told to do prior to getting married. Pray to God to give me the right woman to marry. God has a companion for us all. And I think sometimes that may be why we see some relationships end in divorce. Maybe God was not put in the forefront as he should have been. I know sometimes there are other outside circumstances, but how much greater will it be if we pray to God and ask him to lead us in every area of our lives, even when picking our friends? Lastly, it takes calmness and it takes courage. Daniel never panicked. That's one thing I liked about Daniel, is that when I'm studying the book of Daniel and I'm reading this book by Dr. David Jeremiah, Daniel always seemed to be even keel. He never got mad. He never got worked up because he knew that God was with him. And that's how you should be. Matter of fact, I'll give you a story. This past Thursday or Friday it was, Daddy went with me and I went to go fill up some gas tanks. I don't have a clue what I was doing. I don't know if it was a surge in the line. I don't know what it was. But I had the gas nozzle in the gas tank for my lawnmower, and I was filling it up, and I don't know if I raised up, I don't know what I did, but anyway, gas was going everywhere. I mean, it got all over me, it got all over Daddy, and Daddy just said, "It's okay, son." I mean, it got all over his tennis shoes, it got all over his pants, and he'd already had a shower to go to work. He had to go back and redo all that again, but that was his response. "It's okay, son." And I'm 39 years old, and he's 59 years old. And, you know, he raised me well. I think he set a good example for me growing up. He could have let loose and said, "What were you thinking?" But he didn't. He just let me know that it was okay. How important is it for us to be like that with one another? That when we make mistakes, even if I'd have done it on purpose, his response was one of love and with compassion. And it meant a lot to me. And I know that that may seem silly to you, but I thought about that as I took him home and I drove back to the house. I thought about that, and I think about the times that when Robert Michael and Brody do things, and sometimes I lash out quicker than I should and say things that maybe I shouldn't. They're still just children learning. So how important is it to show Christ-like love and kindness and compassion in everything we do? Even the simplest of things. Remain calm. Remain poised and peaceful. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth." Be still and know that he is God. When we are still, when we are quiet, when we meditate, God can really speak to you in a mighty and powerful way. It's really a supernatural peace that only the believer can truly experience, is that true peace that passeth all understanding. He is our refuge and our strength. He is a very present help in trouble. And this is something else I want you to understand for tonight. If you don't hear anything else that I say tonight, to defeat Satan is to remain faithful to God, because Satan cannot do anything to a Christian who has courage, who has boldness, and who has allowed God to take complete control of their lives. Satan is defenseless. There's nothing he can do to touch you, to break your bond with the Lord Jesus Christ. So just like Daniel, if you're cultivating a godly relationship with him, a godly companionship with others, your needs will be met in a mighty and powerful way, in a spiritual way. And it'll allow you to maintain a calmness that can only be experienced through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to realize that all things are allowed, are done, because God sees fit. Can God count on you to be like Daniel? Can God count on you to be faithful no matter what you face tomorrow? No matter what you face when you go out that door? Be like Daniel. Be steadfast. Place your faith and trust in God. Allow him to work in you. Allow him to use you. In order to be like Daniel, I encourage you to go and find those Christian companions that can be there for you, that can pray for you in times of need. Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all that you do each and every day of our lives, God. So, Father, I pray tonight that we are more like Daniel, that we recognize that without you, we're nothing. Without you, we cannot accomplish anything, Lord, anything of value. So, God, I pray tonight that as we leave here tonight, that you will embolden us, that you will allow us to be courageous, that you will allow us to trust you, that you will continue to show us in a mighty and powerful way what it means to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, please be with us as we leave tonight. Watch over us as we go to our homes, as we go to school, as we go to work tomorrow. God, wherever we may go, may your loving hand be upon us. And God, may we always rise up, giving you the praise and the honor and the glory that you so rightfully deserve. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In your heavenly name I pray. Amen.